This is Advanced Ability Center, tape number 20. The title of this lecture is Europe.
Did you do that to John for the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You went, "Hi, Harvey." No wonder he hated it so much, yeah. I actually just came here to talk to you about my mustache being shaved off, and that's it, George. Cut away. After. No, and it's not that I used to be 6 foot and blonde either. It's, after 20 years, it's time. Okay, so that's it for the day. No, it's nice to be back. I was gone, Don and I went on a trip. It's supposed to have been a vacation, but we went to Europe and to the United Kingdom and visited lots of independent people. There's got to be another term beside independent Scientologists. Somehow it's not quite right. Maybe, how about a new word? Free, no, it's, how about florbles or something? Somehow, florbles, yeah. Anyway, we visited some of the AAC branches in Europe and in the United Kingdom, and it was very nice. There's a lot more activity than anticipated. The ED from the AAC Langenthal in Switzerland is among us tonight. His name, this is Andreas. Everybody say hello to Andreas. Andreas is a classic Swiss name. It's not really something south. When we arrived there, they had a nice party of about 40, 50, 60 people, and can you hear me? Yeah. There were people there from some other small centers in Switzerland, in I guess Bern and maybe Basel. I know the name of all these Swiss towns now: Luzern, Basel. There's a they have a nice publication at the AAC in Langenthal called Uptone. And there's in that area also. There's a periodical called Comline, which is nice. There's a probably a total of 7 or 8 centers that are independent in that part of Europe. And in general, without going into a lengthy thing on all of this, it just feels really good. It's high tone group. It's just generally feels the way it's always supposed to have been. When we arrived at the party they had, they gave us a gift of a crossbow, which is, for the Swiss, it's the bow and arrow. The crossbow is a symbol of freedom, independence, all those good things. I'm sure you all know the story of William Tell. Do you? Well, I won't tell you the story of William Tell. Anyway, we were awarded a crossbow. How many of you were awarded crossbows last week? Yeah. Oh, that's true also. In the United Kingdom, we visited centers in East Grinstead, and a lot of activity also of another kind in Brighton. And then we went up to the castle in Scotland, called the AAC Candacraig. They had a party there just prior to our arrival, a couple of hundred people. East Grinstead is a funny place. There is, one would think that it would be just sort of the place to get out of, because all these, you know, I guess it's been 30 years of the church activity. But church activity in general is diminished to almost nothing. An independent activity claims something like 5 times as many completions in that area a week as does the church. The center there has, the AAC in East Grinstead has a staff of 5. They're all tech trained, and they have a lot of people coming and going. It feels good. It's in a nice old home on the outskirts of town. Every day that we were in England, it rained, which I guess it's supposed to do when you're in England. In Scotland, the AAC Candacraig is very far north. It's in a county outside of Aberdeen. Aberdeen is that's on the meridian, it's much farther north than Moscow, so it was cold. And I think we saw the sun 4.5 minutes on the way to London. But it's a lovely, I guess, a 40-some room space with maybe 70 or 80 acres of land and a lake. I'm sure you've all seen pictures. And they're doing rather well. They have people that are coming from really great distances. And it's a residential facility. People live at the castle and receive services and meals. And they never go outside because it's too cold. But I don't think we're going to try that here. Okay. we visited, I guess, with maybe 100, 150 people all in all. The general tone all throughout Europe and England was one of optimism. But more importantly, there's a feeling now that people no longer wish to just talk about how terrible the old church was and how bad this was and how we've been messed over. And it's a new kind of talk. And the talk really is toward the future. It's a number of months ago, David mentioned in a talk that we have won and it's time for a new phase. And that's essentially the feeling you get over there. People talk about, you know, new public, new games, new visions, a network. We're getting connected up via computer to all the AACs and other independents in Europe. I guess Blake's doing a project to make sure that happens soon. And it's pretty much eyes and visions toward the future rather than all the terrible things that used to happen. I think generally they're about, maybe the Comlink's about a year or so behind what's happening in California. So there are still people just finding out about independent activity, which seems strange. But they're approaching a boom period, and I think there's something like one small center opening up about maybe once a month now over there. So there's a lot happening. So why don't you go skiing in Europe with John Nelson this this winter and go visit all the nice new centers. They'd probably love to see you. There's a lot of excitement when we arrive because we represent the AAC in Santa Barbara, which to them is sort of a focal point for all the activity. So our vacation was spent talking about the AAC in Santa Barbara. Which is, it seems to be what we do here also. Anyway, it was nice, and I won't go on and on about that. I want to invite you to the party on the 16th of December. Just to keep straight about it, we'll have an open house, so please feel free to bring lots of friends. At the center here, there'll be snacks and drinks. You should bring a dessert of some kind. Bring a favorite dessert. And then around 4:30, 5 o'clock, we'll go over to a place called the El Paseo Restaurant, which is in downtown Santa Barbara. I think it's the largest restaurant in the area. It'll take maybe 500 or more people. It's an enormous old Spanish place, and the ceiling opens up at to the stars. And it's an, what do they call it, a no-host bar. There will be some food, snacks, and we'll have music and a good time. So this is our second annual Gala Extravaganza Christmas Party, and you got to come, okay? Good. Let's see, special guests today we have, there's Nick, the amazing Russian from Australia. There's the Jorge y Jose Tomasi from Mexico City. Andreas is here from Switzerland. John is from, where are you from? Australia. We have a large group here from Yugoslavia. No, there's Zivarod is here from Belgrade. Let's say hello to Zivarod. Hey. Who else? You're all of outstanding value. A lot of people from Los Angeles. Someone here from Ventura. Galita. Here's last week's graduates. Linda Williams completed Advanced Ability 5. Zubarod. I'm going to try to pronounce your last name out. Mihailovich? Okay. Zubarod completed clear. Dan Barber, advanced ability 5. Jenny Sloan, advanced ability 5, DRD. Nick Brovochenko, advanced ability 5, DRD. And advanced ability 5. David McCracken completed solo course, advanced ability 1, advanced ability 2. Jorge Tomasi completed advanced ability 2, yay. Mark Fowler, solo course, advanced ability 1, advanced ability 2, hey. Jose Tomasi, solo course, advanced ability 1, yay. And David Pak completed advanced ability 3. Carl Tolbert, student hat. Mary Edler, student hat. John Charlesworth, level 0 auditor and level 1 auditor. And our very own Charlie Hayes, a level 0 auditor, level 1 auditor. And Richard McLeod completed his life orientation. So a big hand to last week's graduates. Hey. Yeah, it was a good week. It was. Seeing as you're all sitting here freezing, we better hurry up and bring David on. Here's David.
Hi. Today I'd like to go into a little bit more of a talk about what we're looking forward to in the near future. We're all aware that there's been a need for change over the last few years in the organizational setup that existed, and the independent movement sprang up. And sometimes we wonder about, well, what direction are we heading in? And a lot of thoughts given to that, and a lot of people talk about it from time to time. And one of the most obvious things that's brought up very frequently is the idea that we have to be careful not to make the same mistakes that occurred in the past. And while that's true, it also is a statement that has in itself certain liabilities. As I'm sure you're all familiar, any postulate can work both ways. You can decide that you want to have more time, more free time, and you could postulate having more free time, and maybe, as some people joke about, they lose their job and they have a lot of free time. So we often hear people, or I've often heard people saying that you have to be careful about what you postulate, which I think is also a mistake. Because one can always change a postulate or make a new postulate whenever one so pleases, unless one starts going into a lot of making a lot of postulates about what kind of postulates one can make. makes a lot of decisions about how one mustn't do that again or mustn't do it that way or has to be careful or watch out for things. Those are the sort of things that tend to, we tend to create various barriers and traps for ourselves by making things seem more difficult or making it seem more necessary to be more careful than we need to be. So while we're on the subject of talking about, you know, not making the same mistakes that have occurred in the past, we could go to the extreme of becoming very careful to become as different as possible from the old organization in order to make sure that we didn't go the same way that they did. And I feel that if we did that, if we put a great deal of attention on that, we could become very different from them and possibly just as bad in a different direction. Or at least we'd spend most of our time trying not to do something or trying not to be a certain way, which isn't particularly, it just simply isn't constructive. You don't get anything fresh or anything new accomplished by that. So I think that the main point in terms of being successful and not making the same mistakes again, I think the most important point on that is to actually have a constructive goal and put the major amount of one's attention on achieving a constructive goal or constructive goals. And interestingly enough, mistakes of the past can be used as lessons. And one of the things that I think is an observation as to how come the organization went the way it did was because some years back, I think a lot of attention got put on trying not to get into trouble and trying not to make mistakes and trying to do things a certain way. And I think it was the postulates along those lines. For example, many years ago, a lot of attention went onto the idea of making sure that there weren't any discreditable articles in the press, or trying to. And there were various policies and there were various statements made, and Scientologists were very heavily warned never to talk to a newspaper reporter or anything like that because they'd always write something bad anyway. And a whole section of the GO was set up actually and had a statistic to do with press, and they went to a lot of effort to try and make sure that nothing critical was stated in the press. All of which I think is not just a wasted effort, because the press went ahead and printed what it was going to anyway, but it was a distraction or a diversion away from doing what they set out to do. Certainly it was less time spent auditing and training people. So many years ago there was a considerable amount of attention put on trying to prevent things from happening that were considered undesirable. The example I just gave about the press was only one of many such things. But I think it was because of that type of attention on trying to prevent things from happening, I think that was to a large degree why a lot of these things came about. So if we were to spend a lot of time trying not to make the same mistakes, I think we'd be falling into the same trap again. And as with any postulates, one should be ready and willing to change them as soon as one discovers that what was a good thing yesterday or yesteryear is no longer a workable thing in the present. Being willing to change and being willing to adapt to new conditions is, of course, the way to survive. Another aspect of it is that very early in the piece, LRH often acknowledged the works of earlier philosophers and earlier men as having been helpful or having been places from which he got some of his ideas, of which he got some of his data from. He acknowledged, for example, the Veda, And particularly in the earliest printings of some of the books, like Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, there were lists of acknowledgments of earlier philosophers. Interestingly enough, in later printings, some of these dropped out. And an idea was brought about, or was particularly an idea was stressed and generated, that the only thing that was of any use or of any value was what was contained right inside within the walls of Scientology, even to the exclusion of, even to the point where it excluded anybody from the past who'd come up with some sort of a brilliant idea. And because of that, it tended to individuate, tended to make Scientologists feel like they were the only ones who knew anything or had anything or were able to do anything. And it just simply isn't so. Scientology, as L.R.H. said in the early works that he wrote, is the culmination of 10,000 years of thinking men. And by keeping oneself very widely informed, not only of the past but also current developments, one can help oneself from becoming too narrow-minded. Of course, there are some who would say that what I'm saying now is being reasonable, and that one should be what they call unreasonable. And it's interesting how the meanings of words can be changed. LRH actually wrote a policy letter about it, and it was called, the subject of the policy letter was to do with giving disinformation through changing the meanings of words. And yet, the original meaning of the word unreasonable means that somebody's acting in a manner that's without reason. And yet after certain uses of it, it came to mean that one, first of all, it came to mean that one was not being illogically reasonable. That was the earlier meaning. But later it came to mean that one was being forceful and harsh and without any kind of feeling for the other person. And that was the final meaning of the word unreasonable. As it was used, it came to mean that one didn't take into consideration the other person or his well-being. And along with that was the idea that anything was okay if the end justified the means. If it was being done for the sake of the cause, then it basically didn't matter what you did. So, while these things I'm saying today would obviously be considered to be being reasonable by some, I think it's that very frame of mind that has brought about the condition that they're in. And provided we keep a pretty broad outlook on life and realize that there's been tremendous progress even over the recent centuries in forwarding man's best interests, and that what we're doing today, while it's certainly a very, very forward progress on anything that's existed before, it can be advanced upon and it can be improved upon, and we should never get so arrogant as to think that that we're currently the ultimate. And it would be a very sorry state of affairs if what we were like today was the ultimate. After all, the only reason why any of us are here currently is because we've already recognized that there is a need for change, and we're trying to do that. So while we're trying to change for the better, I think the moral of this whole thing is, while we're trying to change for the better, let's not resist changing, because that could be self-defeating. And I think that is the mistake of the past. One of the biggest complaints that the church had about its members was that many of them became what they called disaffected, which meant that they queried things as possibly not being correct, and they also tended to display self-determinism. So while we're trying to generate more self-determinism in each other, we should be, or try to be at least, willing to have this other person become more self-determined through our efforts. And I think if we sort of operate along those lines, we might have a future that we could certainly at least be happy with and possibly be very proud of. After all, whenever one sets out to accomplish any goal, I would think that the actual measure of it, especially any goal to do with a philosophy or to do with helping people, the actual measure of it would be, you know, at the end of it, were individual people that one had contacted or had dealings with, were they actually better off than before you contacted them? And if they are, then you've done well. And if not, then one should revise one's ways rather than try to come up with various reasons why these people weren't okay. So anyway, as we've been going along, I think these ideas that I've been expressing today are some of the ideas that we've been operating on, and they seem to have been working out well so far, so I think we'll be able to carry on with those sort of things in the future. And it's not just a matter of them working out well group-wise and as far as our relations with each other are concerned, but they also seem to be working out beneficially technically. The technical results that we're achieving today are very definitely superior to technical results that were being achieved a year ago, and certainly far better than technical results that were being achieved 2 or 3 years or more ago. And I think it's basically because we're applying the tech and not at the same time resisting the recipient of the tech becoming more self-determined. And I think that has actually brought about a tremendous increase in the technical results that we're getting. So, on that happy note, I think I shall end.
Thank you, David, and thank you all for coming on this rather cold day. Let's just raise it 20 degrees for next Sunday. Promise, okay? Remember again the party on the 16th. You're welcome to bring friends and bring desserts. Thanks again for coming. Bye-bye.